for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there.
Monday afternoon, July the 3rd, 2000. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher of the afternoon.
We need to examine ourselves and what we wear. But I want you to be, when you go to buy clothing, be real careful that you don't get something that has the designs of Satanism on them. I was over here last time. I tell you this, I do it. And I had on dress I'd had for years. And all I could see was flowers in the thing. I didn't wear it a whole lot because I never did really like it, but it was something different, so I wore it over here. And two women came to me and told me that there was a face in my dress that was not good. It was a clown's face. It was hidden in the design. I appreciated it. I haven't worn it since and got rid of it. But my point is that we need to be careful. We don't want to go out and wear something that's got the designs of the enemy on it. Okay? Praise the Lord. A spirit of nakedness, going around half naked. The Word tells us over in Genesis where Noah's son looked on his nakedness and look what happened to him. What do you think God's going to do with us that go out and deliberately get naked? I don't get naked, but I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we go out with not enough clothes on. And we need to get rid of the, you know what that's from? It's from an alcoholic spirit. I'm not teaching on alcohol this afternoon, but I may do it if another time. I'm going to teach on the Ten Commandments. Aren't you thrilled? That's what the Lord gave me, and that's what I'm going to share. But, you know, with the alcoholic thing that comes in, that spirit of nakedness is there. And we need to remember we're representatives of the King. Praise the Lord. Well, I won't get on all that stuff, but I will before the week's over, so come. Don't go away. Because I think we need to judge ourselves. And I'm gonna show you some this afternoon on the Ten Commandments. What we do about the Word, what God says about it. You know, I've had to do a lot of examining in the last seven, almost 8 months, to seek the Lord on a lot of things. And I don't have all the answers. In fact, I probably don't even have all the questions yet. But I'm seeking the Lord because I want the answers to things that are happening, you know. And God says if we'll seek Him, we'll find it. He said, they that seek Me shall find Me when we search for Him with all of our heart. And I'm wanting Him, and I don't want anything between me and Him. So, if you will, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You, Lord, for the privilege of sharing Your Word. And Father, I ask that You just by Your Spirit anoint the Word, anoint our ears and our eyes and our heart that we might see with the eye of the Spirit, hear with the spiritual ear, and receive it in our hearts. Lord, I thank You for the Word. I thank You for the written Word, the living Word, and the spoken Word. Father, I just thank You for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And I bind the enemy off this meeting this afternoon. I bind Satan's power. I ask You to cleanse the church from any spirits that's left here from deliverance. Drive them out that they will not hinder or harass anyone in the name of Jesus. I bind the strong man over the church. I bind the strong man each one of us. And Lord, I just thank You now for covering each one with the blood of Jesus and filling, bringing as many angels as we need in here to stand guard in Jesus' name. And we just thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, when I got this morning, I didn't sleep much last night. I was telling the ladies upstairs, I told them grief yesterday, and then today I was after the spirit of necromancy that comes from going to the graveyard cemetery and talking to the dead and so forth. But I had a lot of people ask me a lot of questions about my husband, and it had stirred up a lot of things in me, and so I had to go back and break soul tie again between he and I and the things before I could finally get to sleep because I was remembering, and, you know, God doesn't mind me remembering. I want to remember the good things, but I don't want the other things, you know, to come forth. I got up this morning, I was looking at the Word, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to teach? And I had it all planned, but, you know, my plans are not always God's plans. And so I was looking at the different things that I had studied, and he sent me back to the commandments. Now, I want you to look as we start in. I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 15. God's people are walking in sickness. I'm not teaching on sickness this afternoon, but I want you to know that if we will start obeying the Word of God and God's laws, we will can get healed and delivered from a lot of the things we're walking in. I saw that I wanted to teach this morning as I was studying. I went over to James and was looking at the double-minded person. I thought it was interesting that Sister Ruth got on it this morning because I had looked at the scripture where God said in His Word through James, He said that a double-minded man will receive nothing of the Lord. And we are double-minded people, not only in the area of as she was talking this morning, and I'm not trying to preach her sermon, but I want to tell you something. You can sit here and agree with me and get up and walk out and do exactly the opposite of what the Word says. I've seen it happen, and you and I both know that it does. And that means that we're double-minded. If we want to walk on into the kingdom and power and authority of God, we have got to have singleness of mind, obey the Lord. You say, well, I'm not under the commandments. Yes, you are. And I'll give you scripture for it, because the Word says that. And so because we think, you know, when we got saved and we're walking under grace, we have got, thank God for His grace and His mercy. But God has a written law. He has a law in this Word, and as His people, need to obey it.
Amen.
Thank you, Glenn. It's mighty quiet everywhere else. Praise the Lord. But anyways, let's start with Exodus chapter 25 and verse 26. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. God said, if we will obey his word, his laws and his word. You see, He didn't do away with it. Over in Matthew, in the fifth chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, I'm going to read it to you because the Lord dropped that in my spirit again this morning. And I want to read all this to you in chapter 5 and verse 17. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. He said not one part of it is going to drop or change or do away with it. And you know, and there's a scripture in the Word that says, God said He honors His Word above His name. And if we're not obeying His Word, how can we expect to honor His name and to believe Him when the things He tells us in His Word? Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And He said, if you break them or cause men or teach it, That kind of puts a lot of a responsibility on teachers, doesn't it? And a lot of people say, well, we're not under the old covenant. We don't have to obey the Ten Commandments because we're under grace. But where in the Word do you find that He did away with the law? He said, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Let me back up and read this over. He said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if we obey his word and walk in it, he said, you in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, you'd be called great. But you know, I find that when I quote the scripture, and I believe in quoting the scripture, and I believe in praying the scripture because that's God's word, I find people saying, well, you're too legalistic and you're just religious. It's God's Word. Amen? Yeah, out there, you're going home. Don't go home yet. I'm just starting. Hang in there. Praise the Lord. He says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Pharisees and the scribes were keeping the law, but let me tell you, they were trying to keep the law. But we have been told that we are to obey the law. Thou shall not. Okay? I'm going to 20 in a minute. In fact, we're going to go there right now. Let's go over there. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. When I was studying this, I did this about 2 weeks ago. I was seeing so much in the Word of the reasons that so many things happen to God's people. Because we justify, we excuse, we make excuses why we're not obeying the Word, so we can't obey the Word. I'm not talking about keeping the letter of the law. I'm talking about doing what the Word says. And Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, he said, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He brought us out of Egypt. If you're born again, a believer, you have been brought out of Egypt into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. He said, "I brought you out of Egypt." You say, "Well, that was talking to the Israelites." Well, where were you before you got saved? Right. And he said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." How many gods have you got before God? "Well, I don't have any gods before God." What do you worship? We worship the Lord. And it's really easy to praise and worship the Lord when we're in a group like this. But how much time when you're home by yourself or driving your car by yourself do you worship the Lord? Or do we have other gods? I told y'all one time, some of the people here all the time heard me talk about my false gods. One time it was a Cadillac. It wasn't a new one. My husband bought me a Cadillac. I was so pleased. It was gold. Had leather seats. Big. My husband said, "Pastor, everything but a gas station." And he had given it to me, and I was going down into Mississippi to teach. And I left it at a friend's house. She had a Cadillac, too, and I was driving hers. Hers was brand new. I don't even remember what mine was. It was old. You know, it didn't cost much. We paid, I think, $3,000 for it, so you can tell how old it was. But it was pretty, and it didn't have a scratch on it, and it drove. I'm telling you, when I sat in there, I felt like Miss Big, whatever. And I left it in her backyard, parked at the end of her driveway. That's where she told me to leave it. We were gone 2 days. We went to Oxford, Mississippi, and was teaching down there. Came back, and guess what? My car had a dent in the door. I don't mean a dent. It had a hole in it. Someone had backed out of her driveway and whammed my car. Oh, it was terrible. Terrible. Not only did my car have a hole in it, I had to go home and tell my husband about it. And I was really upset. And I was driving along home. I was coming from Memphis down to Millington, going down the back road. And I was saying, "Lord, I can't have a car. Don't have a scratch. The last one I got rid of had a big hole just about the same place. Lord, what's wrong with me not having a car?" All of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Oh, I said, "Lord, I'm so sorry. I repent. I repent, Lord. I give it to you, and if it's got holes all over it, I thank you for my car that's running." I got home, and I was really careful to kind of tell Jim, because he had just gotten it from me, hadn't had it any time. And I said, "Honey, I'm in trouble." He said, "Again?" I said, "I got a hole in the car." He said, "Oh, okay." He went out and looked at it, and I said, "It can't be fixed." And he said, "I'll get it fixed." I said, "No, it can't be fixed." He said, "I told you I'd get it fixed." I said, "No, you got to leave it there as a reminder. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And I drove that car till we got rid of it. That was one of my gods. Now, I'm telling you this to ask you, what's your god? I made a god of my kids, my grandchildren. I told this before. We'll tell this. Can we go to 6 o'clock tonight? I got a lot to say. I'll continue this next time. But the thing is that I had taken, now I'm telling you this to tell you that, show you that we do make gods before the Lord. We don't do it intentionally, but we do it. I had all my grandkids. I had four kids, and one of my bedrooms, each wall belonged to a child, and I had pictures of everybody and all the grandchildren and all everything. And then as you came in the house, I had a library table, round oval library table there, and the latest pictures were always sitting on that table. Well, it had a lamp in front of it. I had my altar there, Doc. And when you came in my house, if you didn't notice my grandkids, I said, "Do you want to see my kids?" And, you know, people polite, and they said, "Yeah," they couldn't care less about my kids. But I showed them to them, and I was doing that one day, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "You've got an altar to false gods. You're worshiping your children and your grandchildren." You say, "You don't do that." We do. We do. We will miss Bible reading. We will miss prayer. We will miss worshiping the Lord. And we'll spend time on the telephone talking to one of them or whatever when we need to spend time with the Lord. How much time do you spend with your God? Okay, let's go over to Psalms 68. Wait a minute, I got one more scripture there. That's okay. Go ahead. Psalm 68. I'm going to have to cut some of this out. You know, I am so glad that God is long-suffering, that he's gracious and slow to anger. But we want the fullness of the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. We want to obey the Lord. We want to walk we want a tabernacle with the Lord. We don't want to visit him. We want to stay in his presence and walk with him and let him be God within us. Tommy Cook talks about this, and I just love it. He said, we've got to let Jesus come within us. Well, he's in us. What we've got to do is let him take over in us. And as long as we have false gods, that's part of our life that we haven't given to the Lord. Psalm 68, verse 4. He said, sing unto the Lord, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth on the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God is a God to the fatherless. Someone asked me yesterday where that scripture was. Here it is. And he tells us that he'll be a father to the fathers and a judge to the widows. There's another scripture that says he said be a husband to the widows. But here it goes on. He said, God setteth it solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound in with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. If we rebel against God and we won't obey his word, we walk in a dry place. Do you sometimes feel like the Lord is just way off, that you can't find him? Do you ever have that happen to you? We need to come back to our first love. We've left our first love. We need to come back to our first love with the Lord. Over in Psalms 68. Now, wait a minute. I got one more verse here. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. When we walk with him and obey him and praise and worship him, he daily loadeth us with benefits. You want the benefits from the Lord? Can't remember who was talking about. I said we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need this. I want you to do that. I want you to do this and do this and do that and do that. And goodbye, Lord. You know, like he's Santa Claus. That wasn't the way they said it, but this is the way was interpreted. We go into the Lord and we begin to pray and ask God to bless and do the things for our families and all of that. But we don't sit and let God talk to us. We don't sit at his feet and say, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I don't want anything, Lord. I just want to love you. You know what? He'll come and love you. He will. When we sit there and say, Lord, you're God. You're my God. And I love you, Lord. And I don't want anything. I just want to be in your presence. But we have to spend time with him. You know, he doesn't come just, and if you sit there 2 minutes and say, well, he didn't come, I'm leaving. We sit and wait upon the Lord, and we give him honor and glory. We obey his word. He's God, and we'll have no other gods before him. And let everything else wait while we spend time with the Father. Exodus. I'm going to go back to Exodus chapter 3, okay? I'm going to have to eliminate some of these scriptures I have. I have lots of scriptures. Praise the Lord. Lord, I do praise you this afternoon, because you are God. Exodus 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto you, And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. You know, God is not a God I will be or I was or when he is a God of right now. Our sister talked about that this morning. And I want us to see that when we pray before the Lord and when we have spent time honoring him, I always tell the Lord this. I say, Lord, I've obeyed as best that I know how. You know my makeup. You know how I'm made inside. You know how bright I am. That's not what I say. You know me inside and out. And Lord, you show me where I've missed you. And when I pray, I believe God's going to do it, and he's going to do it now. You pray for healing, it's already yours. You pray for what you need from what desire from the Lord. After you spent time with the Father, you won't ask him for anything because you know that he's already taken care of it. What did that Psalm say in verse 19? He daily loadeth us with his benefits. Okay, let's go back to Exodus. What's another? There was another verse. One more. Verse 15, he said, and God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now, God says that this is for all generations. It's not something that was going to pass away. Now, let's go back to Exodus 20. Let's go to the next one. The next commandment. He said in verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, this and the iniquity of the fathers unto the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You know, he says we're not to have any idols. Now, I talked about my idols with my kids and my car. Let's talk about idols you got in your house. Let's talk about things that you brought into your house that God calls an abomination. You know, he tells us to clean this house up, but we also need to clean up the house in which we live. I've been with people that have gone into the house. They asked me to come to pray, and would you come to my house and see anything in there, you know, that I need to get rid of? I said, you really want to know? You really want me to tell you? Yeah? Okay. I'm not coming if you won't let me tell you and you receive it. I mean, you gotta let me tell you what I think. And you know, everybody accuses me of looking, seeing a demon under every bush. Well, at least seven. Whole family. So I go into their house, and here they've got stuff from grandma, great grandma, and it's carved. It may be a carved figurine, whatever, just some kind of a memento. But you look at it, and if you turn it over and look under it, made in Japan or made in China, you know. Well, those things. They've had them. First of all, it's an idol from grandma. You say, well, you mean I shouldn't keep anything? No, you shouldn't. I'm just that gone. Why should I keep something to remind me of a grandmother I never even knew? She died before I was born. I don't have anything belong to my mother because the Lord showed me that through antiques you pick up spirits. And you don't know how many demons are in stuff that comes from another country. You don't know what they do. What was that thing that it said? Dedicated to foreign gods. They call them in and put demons in them too, don't they? And then here we go, keep them in our house. We can't get rid of them because they belong to mom and daddy. Well, mom and daddy, grandma didn't know what you know. You see, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. And God said in his word, for lack of knowledge my people perish. And he says, because you reject knowledge, says, I'll reject your children. Well, a lot of our kids are walking under some things because we have read it in the word that God told us not to do it, and we did it, and now our kids are paying for it. And we say, well, Lord, I'm serving you with all my heart. You know, for a long time, and still, and my house is kind of cluttered right now with furniture, but I'd like to have a either no, I want to have a bonfire. Either a bonfire or a yard sale, but I don't want somebody else to get my junk. But my house was so bare, it didn't have anything on the wall. It had no pictures of what people come in. I know that. I knew I was just thinking. I didn't explain. Wasn't in the business. But I don't want the pictures on my wall. I have scripture on my wall now. Have had for a long time. But the thing, my point is that we bring a lot, you know, we bring a lot of things in, even pictures on your wall. And when you go buy a picture and hang on your wall, turn it over and look on the back of it before you bring it home. See where it came from and see what it says. And you might take the back off of it and find there's something in there that's dedicated to Satan, because we've seen that happen. We found that also. We bring these things in and we say, well, I can't. This woman told me when I went to her house, these little elves, ceramic, all over her house. She had an orchid greenhouse. And these were all in there. The woman had cancer. She had breast cancer. And she had all kinds of little figurines. She had the little statues of Santa Claus, the little elves and reindeer and, you know, minotaurs. All kinds of things all over her house. And I told her, I said, honey, you need to clean house. And I began to show her, I was being real kind because there was so much stuff I didn't name, but there were so many things I did name, you know. But anyway, she said, I'm sorry, I can't get rid of those. And I said, well, you asked me to tell you, now I'm telling you. Now what you do with it is between you and God. But I said, when I went home, I called her when I got home. When I was going home, the Lord said to me, he said, she will die because she is not willing to give up her idols. Said they mean more to her than her life. And the Lord gave me a vision of her on the way home. And I saw her. I saw her. And she was going to heaven. She knew the Lord. And she said she loved him. And I know she did. But I saw her in a garden surrounded with flowers. And the Lord said she loves her idols. And he said she will not get healed because she won't get rid of them. Now, people, wouldn't you rather get rid of your junk than to have cancer and die from it? You say, well, your husband, I don't know what happened to my husband. He didn't die from idols in our house. I don't, you know, the Lord knows. That's the Lord's business. But the Lord spoke to me, and I called her, and I told her, and she said, well, I really can't get rid of them because I've got too much money invested in them. Now, I find people that have got things like that. They say, well, then I'll sell it. You going to sell it and give somebody else the problems, the demons? God wants us to get rid of our idols, not only our false gods, the images, graven images. You know, over in Deuteronomy in chapter 4, and I'm just going to jump around. In chapter 4, it tells us that in Deuteronomy 4, I'm going the wrong direction. That's okay. I'll make it eventually. chapter 4, Deuteronomy 4, verse 15 says, you know, I don't like to have my picture made. First of all, it looks horrible. It looks just like me, and I hate it. I don't want anybody to make my picture. But let me show you something. In verse 15 in chapter 4, God's word tells us here, he says, he's talking to Moses here, and take ye therefore good heed unto yourself, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. God didn't let Moses see him. He told him if he did, he wouldn't live. He saw God, but he saw the backside of him. But he said, you didn't see me when you were upon the mountain. Then he said, listen why he didn't want him to see him. Lest you corrupt yourself and make you a graven image, the solemnity of the figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes into heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God has divided into all the nations under the whole heavens. He said, we're not to make the images. When I taught this in my church, they sat there kind of like some of y'all are. I said, I hate pictures. I knew I always hated them. I didn't like mine ever be made. And now I understand why. God said, not to make images. What's an image? It's a likeness. It's like you look in the mirror, and what do you see? You see the image of your image. And you say, well, you're telling me not to make pictures. I'm telling you, get rid of your idols. I don't care how many pictures you made. That's between you and the Lord. If you want pictures, make them. But look at the idols we have. Don't make idols out of them. Get rid of those statues. Get rid of those fish, those, you know. Okay. Get rid of the pagodas and all of this stuff that is demonic that can be used. I get people mad at me about animals, and I know a lot of you in here have got animals. That's okay. That's your business. But you know what? I find in the occult, where's Michelle? Michelle, haven't you found in the occult that they use animals to send familiar spirits in to spy on people? And I tell people that Michelle deals with people coming out of Satanism. And I tell people you need to get rid of your, protect them at least if you're going to have them. Pray over them. Do deliverance on them. And protect them that the enemy can't use them.
They got that experience. They sure have. I can tell you some stories about it. Amen.
I know that for a fact because we.
They can be delivered.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. And once you deliver them, you protect them. But you say you don't do that. Sure, they can. But the thing, my point is that anything. And the animals alive in your house, even birds, can be chalices for demonic forces to come in. Well, if the living can do that, a living animal that they use, what about all these other things that you have sitting around? So, well, I don't have any. Well, good. I praise the Lord if you don't have a lot of them in your house or any of them in your house. But if you, my whole point is, God said, it's not me, I didn't say this, did I say, I'm reading this, but I didn't write this, did I? God wrote it. It's God's word. And he said, we're not to have those idols. We're not to worship the idols. We're not to have graven images in our house. And Deuteronomy, I'm coming to that one, Doc, thanks. he's a little ahead of me, but I'm coming there. I'm getting there real quick. That was my next scripture. Written in red. I didn't want to miss it. Deuteronomy 7, verse 25. Now, this is why you don't want them in your house. It's because he said in verse 25, the graven images of their God shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver, the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shall thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now, people say, well, I'll pray over it, and I'll break the curses off of it. God didn't tell me I could pray over that. He said, if you bring it in your house, that you become cursed like it. You know, I stop right here and say this. Dr. Noel one time, and I don't remember when he did, doesn't matter, but he taught on the, what was it? Abomination. And you had some, didn't you have some, show some designs of things that were occultic that were in clothing? I missed it. I got the tape. I just was trying to remember how it went. He showed the designs. He showed what it was, what satanic things were. And I had a friend that had a skirt that was full of everything you talked about. And she sat here and heard what you said. She said, I'm not getting rid of my skirt. I'll pray over it and break the curses off of it. Now, I can't give it to you. I will let him do that. You have to do that. I give you that box. The designs, when you have an opportunity, they wanted to know what those designs were. But the thing is that when you know you've been told that it's a symbolic of the devil, then you... And you're going to pray over it and break the curses off of it, and you're going to wear it. He said here, if you bring it in your house and something that's an abomination, that you will be, he said, neither shall thou bring an abomination to thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. So, what I'm saying is that we get cursed by the things we bring into our house. And some of us have heard this over and over again, and we're still doing it. You know what that shows me? We're in rebellion. God's not, I'm not going to do what the Word says, and nobody else is going to make me. I'm not trying to make you. I'm trying to enlighten you. It's not my job to make anybody do anything. Let's go to Acts. Let me show you. You say, well, that's in the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Go to Acts 19. couldn't find my water. I was trying to get a swallow of water. Yeah, praise the Lord. Acts 19 and verse 18. Verse 19. Many of them, this is Paul, and he said here, many of them, well, I'm going to read verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many that believed when he went there if you read the first part, that was the exorcist, the Jewish exorcist was doing their thing. And I'm not going to go into that because you can read it for yourself. But because of the deliverance that they, the things that they saw happen, and when they began to believe, and many of them, which, verse 19, which used curious arts, brought their books. Books? You got any books that you need to get rid of? And burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. When they were teaching the word, preaching the word, and things was happening, that people brought all of their occult things and burnt them and destroyed them.
We had to repaint our house in the living room and skin after Greg Prince burnt the books in our house.
And you don't want them in your house. If you've got any occultic things, I've had people tell me, well, I read it. I read them just to find out about it. You don't need to find out about it. You don't need them in your house. You don't. Those books are not. Those are books for satanic people, people that want to do the witchcraft and the occult things. And God doesn't want His people reading those. Read the book. Everything you need to know is in this book. And obey. If we just obey it, think what would happen. Just think what would happen. They didn't. They did not want the even the silver off of the things that they burnt. And I told the girls upstairs about this, that I had a lady in my church that wouldn't get rid of her stuff. She had it all melted down and whatever. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to let's go over to Psalms 106. Is anybody in here? I don't want anybody show me, but does anybody in here have some of these things in their house that maybe they may be causing some problems in your homes? You know, I told about the picture on my wall that had that in my dining room. I told this here several times. We'd be sitting on our couch and my dining room door would open, pop. They'd close it. Just like, it's like you slammed it. And you know, you think, well, there must be a draft in there. You know, winds. wind don't open doors, but it can slam them, close them. So we had prayed. Jim and I had prayed over. I had taken everything off of the wall, but one, I had a picture on the wall that had scripture on it. And in the, this picture had a tree, and some birds in it. And I was in my church one night. We had company come over, and we'd be sitting in, all of a sudden my door would open and go wham. And they would jump, you know, and Jim said, oh, it's just a friendly ghost. And he said, no, it's demonic, and we don't know what's giving it the right to be in there. It had a legal right, and we didn't know what it was. We had anointed the room. We prayed over it and, you know, just done everything we knew to do. One Sunday morning, I was preaching in my church, and I don't have any idea. I had no idea what I was preaching on, and all of a sudden, the Lord showed me the picture hanging on the wall in my dining room. And there were birds in it. Well, there was a bird, dead bird in the tree that was hanging upside down in the tree, and we had noticed the bird. We knew it had birds in it, but we hadn't noticed the dead one. And the Lord said, that's why that demon's still in your dining room. So we got home, we destroyed it. See, scripture, it was scripture on the wall. You see how you can be deceived? Someone had given me the scripture, and I'd put it on the wall. And I don't know if they knew it was. I'm sure they didn't know that it, you know, had a dead bird in it, and that was given this demon in my dining room the right to stay there. We got rid of the picture. Didn't even have to cast the thing out. It left. I tell you this. This is, well, maybe it does. My husband belonged to the Masonic Lodge years and years ago, when he didn't know better. You say, well, what's wrong with that? First of all, it's secretive. The pins and the apron. He'd gotten rid of everything but the apron, and we'd forgotten about it. And he destroyed them. And one day, we remembered. I was in my cedar chest. I was upstairs in the cedar chest looking for something, and that apron had gotten buried down under a lot of things, so we couldn't find it. So I found it, and I brought it downstairs, and we took it outside and burned it. And when I burned it, when it finished burning, or as it was burning, it just looked like it began to form something. And all of a sudden, you could see it. It was a demon, and he, every bit of, instead of having ashes or anything there, that thing just up and went into the tree, bush shrubbery by the house. And we had to command it out and call Jim's soul back from it. His soul was in that thing. Those rituals, they take parts of their soul. They curse them. They curse the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren for four generations. And when you get involved in the occult, you have a four-generation curse on you. You curse yourself. You curse your children. You curse your grandchildren. You curse your great-grandchildren. The Bible talks about it. And I read that over there, and I think I read it in Exodus a while ago. Sins of the fathers are visited on the children to the third and the fourth generation. But we don't think a thing about this. And people get mad when you go to touching their little private false god, the Masonic Lodge, Eastern Star, the Rainbow Girls, Dumoulin's, and all the others. We need to get rid of those gods. Those are false gods. We bring curses upon our children. They remove your soul. You get soul ties with them, and you're bound. My husband, when we delivered him from this, we had to take every step that the Masonic Lodge has and break his a soul tie between him and that step. Whatever, I don't remember, it's been so long ago what they were, but we would break a soul tie between him and that position and the whatever person that was in that position and call his soul back, and we had to he had to renounce it. He had to renounce each step, and that worshipful master. What does that sound like? I said, well, we'll get into this. Okay, Lord, I'm in it. Worshipful master. We don't have to worship anyone but God, and there. That this curse was not only on him, but on our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren because of him having been in there. And we lightly say, well, I just break the curse. Well, it didn't work that way for him. We had to destroy the power of the ring, the Masonic ring, break the power of the pin. He had a lapel pin or something. I don't remember what. I think it was an emblem. Just don't remember it now. And had to just take it one by one and destroy its hold. You said, well, I'm not getting out of mine. That's between you and the Lord. 106 Psalm, verse 34. The word says, They did not destroy the nations and concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathens and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed sons and their daughters unto devils. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. You see, they didn't obey the Lord when they went into the land, and when they did that, God told them to destroy everything as they went into the land, and the things they didn't destroy, look what happened. They lost their own children, and they began to serve idols. God's word is God's word, and he said what he meant, and he meant what he said, and he meant for us to obey him. And we said, well, maybe we don't say that. Maybe we don't openly say that we're not going to obey it, but we don't obey it because we do what we want to, don't we? Most of the time, we're learning not to do it. But God is trying to tell us, hey, clean up your house. I've gone into homes that were so junked up, I thought, how can they live in all that junk? And when you walk in, you feel the heaviness in the place, the darkness that's there, because all this stuff they accumulate and they can't afford to get rid of it because there's so much money in it. Well, what will you give in exchange for your soul? Go back to Exodus 20. Did I miss it? Let me see, what did I miss? Let's start reading at verse 6. And he says, I'm going to back up to verse 5 because I want to go back for this and the sins of the children, of the fathers on the children. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation to them that hate them, that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God says we're not to take his name in vain. It's amazing when you get saved how your language gets size change until you get mad. And if you mash your finger with a hammer or something, we can find out whether you really saved or not. Because what comes out of your mouth in abundance comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart in abundance. It's really funny. My husband used to talk about this. He'd say, I never heard my husband use a word, a foul language in 55 years. But he said, you sure find out whether you're saved or not, whether you get mad or not when something happens to, when you get hurt. But God says we're not to take his name in vain. And you know, we as Christians, well, sometimes I'm floored by what I hear come out of Christians' mouths. Have you ever been kind of shocked around someone and heard what came out of their mouth that say they are a Christian? Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. Going the wrong way again. He said, "Ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." God says we're not to swear by his name. We're not to swear by it falsely. We're not to swear, use his name in when you're vowing a vow for someone else. Over in, let's go to Leviticus 6, chapter 6 and verse 3. I had another scripture and I can't remember what it was. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody mad at me yet? Praise the Lord. Leviticus 6, verse 3. That's not right. I mean, I'm doing it backwards. 6:3. He said, let me read verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in the fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, and any of all these that a man doeth, doth sinning therein." The word tells us that when here, and he's talking about also lying. You know, I've got a scripture over in Revelation at the end of chapter 21. It said all liars and idolaters and I'll read it in a little bit. All of these are going to have their part in the lake of fire. You ever connected that with the commandments? It's the word, isn't it? And God says all of these, the effeminate, the whoremongers, fornicators, the liars, and all will have their part in the lake of fire. So God says we're not to take his name in vain. We'll not be guilty. I'm going to read through them real quickly, and I'm going to omit all my other scriptures to go with them. He says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son should, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." He said that we're to hallow the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now I'm going to read this next one, and I want us to check to look at this. He said in verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God, thy God, giveth thee." Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Today, there is no, in children, most children, there is no honor of their father and their mother. Why? That scripture I just read said that tells us that we were to honor our father and mother, and we were to teach our own children. The word tells us in Proverbs, we're to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. If we didn't do our job, then today the children will not respect their parents. I can only tell you what I know. There's a lady that I know that has in her house right now, because she did not teach her children or make her children mind And the word says, you know, spare the rod and spoil the child. That these children now are grown. They're adults. And they live in her house. And the things they've brought into her house is horrible. The things that they've come in and done in her house. And she's allowing it. You see, a lot of times we're afraid we'll lose our children. And we put up with stuff that we should not put up with. I was telling the girls upstairs, my husband and I threw our son out. We wouldn't let him come in our house. He wasn't a child. He was 50 years old. But he was on drugs. He'd just gotten out of jail. We had done everything we knew for him. Everything. Tried every way to help him. And we couldn't, he just went on and did his own thing. Well, he ended up in jail. He spent 5 months in jail. And when he came out, he was going to come home and live with us. He said, I'm going home and stay 3 months. And his dad said, no, you're not. You're not spending the night in my house. He said, son, we love you. We love you, but we don't like you. We don't like what you do, was what he told him. He said, we don't like what you do. You have blamed everybody on the sun for what your problems except yourself. His dad talked to him, and I talked to him, and I told him, I said, you need to forgive those that have hurt you, and you need to ask their forgiveness for what you've done to them. And I said, son, we love you, but we will not let you stay here. That wasn't bad. That was hard. It was really hard to do, and I really hurt when he left. But that wasn't even the worst of it. My other son runs a, it's not funny, but in a way it is. My other son runs a mission. And he brings homeless, he takes care of homeless people. Well, he wouldn't let him stay at his mission. That's terrible, isn't it? He sent a car to pick him up. He sent a man over to pick his brother up. You say, well, that's terrible. Y'all are horrible. That's right. We love him. We loved him. We'd been enablers long enough. And my son sent this man over. He wouldn't even come get him. He sent another man to come get him. And he picked him up. And my son has a mission in Little Rock. And he came from Little Rock to Millington on the side of Memphis to pick my son, other son up. And it broke my heart. My son was just a mess. And it was hard. I'm telling you, it was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. And he came and got him. And he left. All he had out of all his life was the clothes he had on his back. And I had got him some other clothes. And I wouldn't throw him out without any clothes. and this young man that came and picked him up brought him back to Little Rock. And I thought he was, they didn't tell me this, I thought he was going to his son, to my other son's mission. He didn't. They carried him down to, what did I tell y'all? So help me, I've forgotten the place. Salvation Army, and dropped him off. Oh, I would have had if I'd known that, but I was still, Jim wouldn't let me do anything. He said, no, it's time. He's got to make a decision. But he dropped him off at the door, and they said that he could stay there 5 days. And my son's talking to me, and he said, Mother, we'll take care of him. And he was taking care of him, all right. I'm telling you this. It's not funny. It wasn't funny at the time. It's funny now when I think about it, because what happened was wonderful. They dropped him off, and he said to me later, he said, Mother, when I knew my mother and my father didn't want me in the house and my brother wouldn't even let me go to that mission, I had already reached the bottom. And he said, I knew that I had to do something. He went into that mission. They fed him his dinner. We had fed him lunch, but it's a 4-hour drive from my house to here, to Little Rock. And he said, that night when they were having church service, he was sitting in the back of the church. You have to go to church, you go there, you know. And he was sitting in the back of the church, and he said, the preacher preached. And he said, Mother, I got up, and I ran down there, and I fell on the altar, and I said, God, help me. God got a hold of that boy. He came back to our house in about 2 weeks. We almost didn't know him. He was cleaned up. He was shaved. He was praising the Lord. He had a Bible on his arm. He said, I got to give a testimony of what God's done for me. And I'm telling you, talking about rejoicing, we rejoiced all over the place. He was sitting there crying. He said, Mama, I want to testify. Nobody wants to hear me. I said, Son, I'm listening. And all of us listened, and we were rejoicing with him. and he's still saved. He's still, and he's helping other people. He's still not in my son's mission. He did go, his brother did let him come over there. And he, and at Christmas, he, last Christmas, he played, see, they don't walk like where we're walking yet, but he will. He played Santa Claus, and I couldn't believe it. He was playing Santa Claus and having children sitting on his knee, just having a big time for the mission, raising money. He said, Mother, he said, I'm telling you, it's so good. He said, he's in the hospital. He's over at Little Rock Veterans Hospital because he has a problem with his back and his leg. He walks with a, now he's walking with a cane, something. Anyways, he's helping the other people that are in worse shape than he is. He gets paid. Listen, my son had made $20-something an hour when he worked for DuPont. He's making $5 an hour now, and he takes his money and buys things for those others that are in the hospital. Talking about a change, if we'd have let him come in, he would have been got left the same way he came in. God had, we had to, I guess that's what you call tough love, because his dad and I weren't rejoicing over it. But people, we had done, we need to really love our kids enough to help them and not give in to them. In Ephesians 6 and verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. My kids always obeyed me when they were growing up. But when they married and got away from you, you have no authority over them. All you can do is pray. And we had prayed. I had another son that left, and he came back. And but he wasn't in all this. He just moved away, and we didn't hear from him for about 5 years. He thought we was mad, and we thought he was mad. He said, he came back. He said, I thought y'all were mad at me. I said, what was wrong with you? You're the one moved away and lost contact with us. But the Lord's brought him back. But what I'm saying is that when you, if you train your children and take authority and don't give them everything they want. I can't tell you how to raise your kids, but the more you give to them, the more they demand, and don't let them get authority over you. This is what this other girl did. He says, honor thy father and the mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. See, this is the first commandment of God that he gave us in the commandments over there. The Ten Commandments was with promise that if we honor our father and our mother, which we've done, most of us have because we were brought up that way. But today children are not, and we're seeing kids die, aren't we? They're killing each other. They're overdosing on drugs. They're killing themselves. Why? Because they weren't taught to respect and honor their father and mother. And I'm going to hit this, and then I'm going to, I said I was going to preach to 6 o'clock, but I won't. It said, next verse says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. What I see in this, and I've run into it so many times, is in the area of incest, where children have been abused. I'm saying incest, child abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, and mental abuse brings children to wrath and frustration and hatred. God gave us children, gave fathers children, that the fathers could show those children God, the Father God, and His love. And this is why we have find that it's hard sometimes to get your children into the kingdom. If you don't show them that love and teach them that love, they don't want any part of God because they've not seen God working in the father's life. He said, and you fathers provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the admonition, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 18. Verse 8. He said, the fear of the Lord, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. He says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. But they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck. So when we hear the children hear the instruction of their father and listen to the laws that their mother gives them, then children will turn and be what, when we train them up the way they should be and teach them to the best of our ability, when they get away from the Lord, they will always come back. You know, they will always, because that's what God's Word says, train up a child in the way he should go. I'm going to close with this, but I want to go over to, to the Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, one of the commandments that I've had been to stop, but one of them that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I want to show you something about adultery. If I can find it, it's hard to turn these pages with one hand. in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32, said, "Whosoever be found, but who committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away." God said that adultery, thou shalt not commit adultery, that it destroys the soul, and a wound and reproach that you get from it. Destroying the soul through adultery, that curse can be passed down to the next generation, the adultery curse, unless it's taken care of. And we're seeing a lot of that today. And children are not, because of what they've seen in their own homes. For instance, divorce means nothing today. Most of the time, they don't even bother to get married. They just live together. Can you see how the devil has gotten people away from the laws of God, gotten away from the commandments we have heard we don't live in the Old Testament? Yes, we do. We better live in it, living it from Genesis to Revelation, and obey what the Word says. Said, if you don't keep the Word, how do you expect to be free? How do you expect to be healed? How do you expect to serve the Lord? I was telling Sister Ruth upstairs when we were up there this afternoon, I was teaching, and said, she taught this morning, she mentioned the scripture in Matthew, I think she said Matthew 7, where Jesus said that some would say, "Well, Lord, I cast out demons in your name. I did this in your name, did that." And he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Revelation chapter 20, and I'm closing with this. I've had to really cut my message up. I hope it was understandable. Praise the Lord. And you understand? Get you. And Chad, you got the point. Good. Good. Examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. Revelation 21, verse 7. Listen. Listen. Revelation 21, verse 7. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Look at verse 8. "But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Is that clear? There's nothing hard to understand about that, is it? Go through the commandments over there, the Ten Commandments, and see. You see almost all of it right here. And we say we're not under the law. We're not under the law. The law is to show us the sin in our life. And we're sinning if we don't keep God's word and obey his word. "Thou shall have no other gods before me." We need to get rid of our idols. We need to get rid of all of the abominations, the abominable things that we have put up with. People, we need to stand up and be counted as sons of God, believers of the word, and walking in the power and authority of the word. And stop being wishy-washy. I am so sick of seeing people compromise God's word and say, "Well, you know, God didn't mean that." Well, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said, and I haven't found any place where he's changed that. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. He said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. I used to say, "He said it, I believe it, and that settles it." And the Lord spoke to me and said, showing me, said, "I said it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's already settled. It's settled in heaven." Psalms 119 says, "Thy word is forever, O Lord, settled in heaven. Settled in heaven, O Lord, forever." Anyways, you get the point. It's Psalms 119, 89, or 87. But God's already settled his word. He's not going to change it to fit our time schedule and our what we want. He wants us to obey. You know, I'm going to do this. They may not let me preach again. No, I won't. But I get nothing. Okay, I'll be nice then. But we need to clean up our act, people. We need to really be people we say we are. We need to obey God. We need to, even if it costs you, and it will cost you. It might cost you your family for a while, but God's promised to bring them back from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. He said his word won't return void. And you know, we need to speak the word, and we need to let our kids know we believe the word enough that we're going to obey it. And so we can bring them in to begin to walk where we're walking, where we want to walk. We're not there yet because we're working and trying to get there, going on our way there. But we know that God's given us everything, and he loves us, and he wants us to come on in and be cleanse this temple. But not only cleanse this temple, but the one we live in, the house we live in at home. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Anybody want deliverance? Praise the Lord. Well, okay. I'm ready. Put your feet on the floor. Flat on the floor. In the name of Jesus. Don't cross your legs. Keep your legs uncrossed. You know, I don't know what it is, but when you do this, if you're sitting there with your hands gripped like that, it's almost like you're just giving those things power. You know, you can hold on to them if you want to, but you can get rid of them if you want to. God's word says over in Joel, he said, "They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." And so if you really want to be delivered, you ask him. You had a lady in our came to our church one time. She was in her 80s, and she was having a lot of problems. And, you know, my thing is, I'm getting better about it, though, because I'm getting closer there to myself. And I thought, 80 years old, Lord, and she's wanting delivered. Goodness, where do we start? And she came in, she sat down in the front. We always had people come up to the front to get deliverance if they wanted it. They always said it's hard to get up there, but they always came. And she's sitting there, she says, "I want to get delivered, and I don't care if I have to swing from the chandelier." We didn't have a chandelier, so she was safe. But, you know, she got delivered. She got delivered from cancer of the blood. She believed the Lord, and she sat there, and my little granddaughter, who was 6 years old, manifested her. We didn't mean for her to. She was just sitting over there. We thought talking to her, and she was sitting, my little granddaughter was sitting there in the chair, pulled her chair up in front of her and was sitting there with her arms crossed, and her feet wouldn't even touch the floor. She was up in that chair, and she was saying, "Come out of there in the name of Jesus. You come out of her. You let her go." And this 80-year-old lady was getting deliverance, and I looked up and I said to my son, "Go over there. We don't know what she might do. That child, you go in there and take over." Well, he didn't have a faith, that child did. Enough said. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for deliverance. And Lord, I thank you for the people that have been patient with me this afternoon. And I ask you, Father, to bless and meet every need in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you said in your word that if we ask, we will receive. And in the name of Jesus, we come this right now, and we ask you, Lord, to let the Spirit of the Lord break the yoke of every yoke of bondage in your people in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Now let's pray and ask the Lord to forgive us, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, and we confess that we have had unforgiveness in our hearts. Father, we have held unforgiveness against people that have hurt us. And Father, we forgive them. And we ask you to forgive us in the name of Jesus and to cleanse us, Father, for the sin of unforgiveness. And Father, we have not loved the way you commanded us to love. And we ask you, Father, to forgive us for not loving. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to restore our soul. You know, Father, wherever part of it is. And we ask you, Father, to loose your angels, to go forth, and to bring back every part of our fragmented soul. And Lord, we thank you for bringing it back. Father, we ask you to forgive us for not being obedient to your word. We ask you, Father, to cleanse us of our sins and the iniquities of our forefathers. We confess the sins of our forefathers for not obeying your word. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to forgive us for opening the door for the enemy through the occult, through idolatry, through adultery, through through having false gods, through lying. And Father, all the sins that we have committed against your word, we ask forgiveness. We receive your forgiveness and your cleansing. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of adultery. In the name of Jesus, adultery, fornication, bestiality. So what that got to do with what I just called? Nothing, but come on, let's get started. I come against the occult. In the name of Jesus, disobedience and rebellion. In the name of Jesus, rebellion, let them go. Come out of there. Rebellion against God's word, disobedience to God's word. Let them go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. I call out the spirit of idolatry, worship of idolatry, in the name of idols, in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. I come against unforgiveness. Spirits of unforgiveness and doubt, let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Turn them loose and come out of there. Unbelief and doubt, let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Let them go. I come against all the false gods in the name of Jesus. Spirits of murder. Spirits of murder, not honoring the parents, disobedience to mother and disobedience to father. Loosen them and let them go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of jealousy, backbiting, anger and hatred and murder, come out of them in Jesus' name. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn loose and come out in Jesus' name. Let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of adultery, lust, unfaithfulness, sexual perversion, harlotry, whoredom, let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, if you're not getting any deliverance and you want it to come out, start coughing. Make yourself cough. You stir them up by coughing and breathe in and out, whichever is easiest, and command them from the inside of you to come out of there. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all rejection, spirits of rejection, hatred, let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, loosen and let go. In Jesus' name, I call out the spirits, Masonic spirits, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we break the power of the Masonic lodge over each one here and call it out in Jesus' name. Masonic lodge, women. Eastern Star, break a soul tie with Eastern Star and the Masonic lodge and Job's daughters, in the name of Jesus, I call out the spirits from Job's daughters. Loosen them and let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out, every curse in the name of Jesus, every demon in the name of Jesus. Spirit of demolays, the girls, what's the girls? Rainbow girls, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of there, come on out of there, in the name of Jesus, we break the curse. Of four generations from the Masonic Lodge, the Malays, Eastern Star, the Rainbow Girls, and Job's daughter. We break it off the children. Come on out there. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come against that spirit of cult, idolatry, insanity, and madness. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of murder. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. Every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. Let them go. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of rebellion against God's word, disobedience to the word of God, come out of there. Let them go. Spirits of rebellion, witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Come out of there. All the witchcraft spirits, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose. Ancestral curses, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, spirits of pride, haughty spirits, let them go in Jesus' name. Worship of the stars, astrology, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the any curse and every curse of anyone that's ever attended a sunrise service in the name of Jesus. And I call out every spirit that came in through going to sunrise services. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Come on out there in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, profanity. using the Lord's name in vain. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Cussing spirits. In the name of Jesus, every foul language. In the name of Jesus, spirits of foul language, come out of them. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose and come out of there. Come on out of there. Turn God's people loose and let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of jealousy, in the name of Jesus, rebellion, witchcraft, anger, insanity, madness, adultery, spirits of adultery. If you had, I break soul ties with adultery. If you've committed adultery, I ask the Father to restore your soul in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose and come out now in Jesus' name. Come on, get with it. Let's get these things out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. I come against fear, all fears, fears of all kinds in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, spirits of fear, phobias, come out of there. Fear of authority, lying, deceit, pride, ego, vanity, come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Frustration. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Unbelief. In the name of Jesus, self-deception. All spirits of deception, let them go. In the name of Jesus, deceiving spirits, let them go. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. In the name of Jesus, turn loose and come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, come on out of there. Loosen them. Loosen them. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus. I come against all of the false religions that we, instead of worshiping Almighty God, that have gotten into the cults. I call those out. Spirits of idolatry, spiritual idolatry, in the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them and come out of there. In the name of Jesus, turn them loose and let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, fortune telling, water witching, tarot cards, pendulum swing, witchcraft, black magic, white magic, come out of there, incantation, charms, fetishes, in the name of Jesus, astrology, horoscope, hypnotism, in the name of Jesus, spirits of the Ouija board, come out of there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. In the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, hatred, self-hatred, rejection, self-rejection, fear of rejection, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Guilt, all the guilt and condemnation, shame, unworthiness, embarrassment, sexual impurity, come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Schizophrenia, double-mindedness, let them go in the name of Jesus. Root of bitterness, spirits of bitterness, come out of there. Bitterness, let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them, turn them loose and come out of there now. Turn loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let them go. Come on out of there. All fears, fear, pride, in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Covetousness, come out. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the fears, rebellion, rejection, bitterness, unbelief, and doubt, in Jesus' name. Glory, glory, glory. Anybody got anything with me? Call four clothes. I'm fixing clothes. Foot of pride and crown of pride. We call out that crown of pride. We call out all the pride. Little pride, big pride, foot pride, pride of self-pride, in the name of Jesus. I call out Leviathan. Come on out of there. Spirit of Leviathan. Turn them loose and come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of Leviathan. Ruler of pride. King of pride. Let them go. Turn them loose and come out of there. In the name of Jesus. I come against that spirit of Asmodeus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. Turn them loose and come out of there. Turn them loose and come out of there in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Pride, all the pride, all the pride. Well, I don't have any demons. I call that lying demon out in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Okay, we're gonna pray and fill everybody up. Let's ask the Lord to fill us, okay? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask today, Father, I thank you for the deliverance, Father. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. Lord, fill us now with your presence. Fill us with the spirits of the Lord. Fill us with the spirit of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. Thank you.